today as we come to the table.
How many of us can say, you know what? We finally woke up one day and said, the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Isn't that great? You see, I can remember again that whole thing of my testimony. I remember God was always there. God was always watching after me. And as I look back on my life, I can see that God was there all the whole time, but I didn't realize it. My eyes were closed spiritually. I was blind to the fact that God was involved in my life and that the Lord was going to do a work in my life. And Jacob comes to this place where he finally wakes up from his sleep. And again, we can make the application, waking up from the spiritual sleep as well. Realizing God is real, God is alive, heaven and hell are real, they both exist.
That feeling when you just close your eyes for a second, and when you wake up, your world has completely been changed? It was daylight when you started, and suddenly, it seems that hours have gone by and twilight has set in. It can really shake you up. But you know what? The world doesn't stop when you do. The clock keeps ticking and the earth keeps spinning. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark teaches you that God never stops working, even if you're not aware of what he's doing, and even if you're asleep spiritually speaking. God's always at work. He's always doing something. Sometimes you just need to open your eyes. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
This promise is going to be the first thing we see Jacob mention. As he comes back to the land, he starts reminding God. And when he comes back in, he's coming in the land after 20 years of being gone, and he's there at the Ford Jabbok, and it says the Lord comes and wrestles with him, and it's this night of wrestling with the Lord before the next day he runs back into, guess who? Esau. You see, his servants had told him, Esau is coming to meet you, and he wants to see you. You're his brother. And he's thinking, oh, brother, I remember what it was like when I left Esau. He wanted to kill me. And probably 20 years of anger is built up and this guy's going to. And they said, guess what? Esau's bringing 400 men with him. Oh, brother. See, the bottom line is he realizes I'm in big trouble here, or he thinks he is. And the first thing he does is remind God of the promises that he gave him. Believer, note that in your heart. Because God has given you promises, and God is going to give you promises, and there's going to come times in your life where it's going to look like those promises aren't going to come to pass, and you're going to be fearful and afraid, and whatever the situation is, and you need to remember, God said, I will be with you. For some of you, it may be nothing more than the finances and all the bills coming due. And you remember that God has been faithful your entire life to cover all of your resources throughout your life, and suddenly you're at this place where now all of a sudden you feel alone. The resources don't seem to be there. And you're like, what's going to happen? I'm going to collapse. My life is going to collapse. And what happens? God says, remember, I told you I'll be with you wherever you go. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So the bottom line to remember is the Lord is with us. The Lord will provide for us in all things. He will take care of us. We need to remember that. We need to rest assured of that. And these are promises that he hangs on to. I encourage you, write those promises down. Jacob needed to see that, you know, God never runs out of power. And that he was able to meet him where he was. Any need that he had, God was more than able to meet that need. And so now we see him again, God giving him these promises. It's wonderful. I love this because, again, write those promises down. You need those promises for later. And he's going to need them 20 years later. Don't forget the promises that God has given you. Just because you forget them doesn't mean God's not going to do it. But what it means is that you can remind yourself God's going to be faithful. And God's going to do it. And so, again, he says, I'm with you wherever you go. I'll bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. What an amazing verse. How many of us can say, you know what? We finally woke up one day and said, the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Isn't that great? You see, I can remember again that whole thing of my testimony. I remember God was always there. God was always watching after me. And as I look back on my life, I can see that God was there the whole time, but I didn't realize it. My eyes were closed spiritually. I was blind to the fact that God was involved in my life and that the Lord was going to do a work in my life. And Jacob comes to this place where he finally wakes up from his sleep. And again, we can make the application, waking up from the spiritual sleep as well. Realizing God is real, God is alive, heaven and hell are real, they both exist, and all these things that come into your mind, I remember when I realized that God was real, and that you could actually know him on a personal level, it wasn't just religion, it wasn't just Sunday morning, you could actually know him, and again, that's a very frightening place to be, and we're going to see when we get to the next verse, one of the first things it said is that Jacob was afraid. Why? I know why, and you know why as well, not afraid that God was going to squash us or something. But I had this realization that my sin was real and that I had to stand before God one day and that I had this accountability to God in my life now that I never knew I had before. That's a fearful thing, but it was a good kind of fear. It wasn't a cowering fear. It was a fear of respect and reverence saying, wow, have I got to change my life? I've got to give my life over to you, God, and go a new direction. And so it was that moment of that eye-opening moment where he woke from his sleep. And I love this. Notice again, this is the mistake many young believers make. Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Again, not only is the Lord in that place, what he doesn't realize is the Lord is everywhere. A lot of people think that there are certain places God is. Did you grow up hearing we're going to God's house? You know, you think, well, if I'm somewhere else, can God not see me? And so I can do whatever I want through the week. But when it's God's house, I have to really act right, right? I'm at God's house now. See, here's the thing that Jacob didn't know yet and that we have to learn. God is everywhere. Where is God's house? The universe. He lives everywhere. You can't get away from him. David said in the Psalms, if I go to the ends of the earth, God is there. If I go to the depths of the sea, the Lord is there. I had somebody actually say to me one time, you know, because I told him that God was everywhere and could reach every man. He goes, yeah, well, he's not at the bottom of the ocean. Well, according to scripture, he says that he is. It says that even at the depth of the sea, you will find the Lord there. God is everywhere. And so what we have to realize is no matter what we're doing or where we are, God sees us and God is there. And that puts a fear in the heart. You know what? If you're not walking with God or you know your life is not where it needs to be, God sees and God knows. And now this realization, this awakening for Jacob out of his sleep that surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. And again, my heart's desire is that there may be some of you that don't realize the Lord is in this place and he is. And you need to realize that relationship that you need to have with him. And right now he's revealing himself to you and opening your eyes to the truth. And so he says, I had no idea, but I know now he's here. And he was afraid. And again, that godly fear that's there. How awesome is this place? And again, notice there's another mistake he makes. He equates the place as being where God is. Now, we mentioned that already. But again, how many of us think of God being at a certain place? See, here's the problem. If you think that God is only at church on Sunday morning, then you're free to do whatever throughout the week. Right? God is in every place. And I think it's healthy for us to realize that God is everywhere, not just in a certain place. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, that was a very special place to me. Nashville still has a very special place in my heart because that's where I met God. And I remember shortly after meeting God, I was doing some house sitting for some people. And God even set that up, you know. And I would just go there and spend just hours in the Word and spending time with God. And God was training me up for ministry. And I didn't know that. God gave me this great desire just to study and all these things. And I would put tapes in and get out my concordance, you know, and start looking up the Greek and the Hebrew. And I'm thinking, you know, is this normal? I don't know. But the bottom line is I was doing it. And I couldn't help doing it. There was a burn in my heart to do it. And I look back now and see God was preparing me for today, so that I would be able to do this and share with you his word. But the point is that when I was in that place, God did some amazing things in my life. And I have to tell you, that house seems special to me. I could drive by that house and go, wow, that's that house where God did all those things. But God's not just in that house. It wasn't that that house is special. You know, God is the one. You know, I see people today that think, well, that church, you know, it was that day or that pulpit, that altar. I went to that altar and that altar. And we have to be careful because God is not in an altar, is he? God's not in a pulpit or a building. God is everywhere. And so Jacob needed to learn this lesson. He said, you know, how awesome is this place? So he's looking at the place rather than God. We've made that mistake before. He says, this is none other than the house of God. Well, no, it wasn't, but can you imagine? He goes, and this is the gate of heaven. So if he goes out and wants to ever come back to the house of God or get into heaven, you got to come to this place and this gate. And again, I think that's part of the maturing process. We think that God's limited to our little sphere of influence. Maybe it grew up being our denomination, you know, or our church or our whatever. God's in this place and nowhere else. This is the gate to heaven. And if you want to get to heaven, you'll come to Calvary Chapel, you know, or you'll come to First Baptist or First Methodist or Presbyterian. That's the gate to heaven, right? The gate to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what denomination or what background. It's, are you in Christ, and have you come through the ladder from earth to heaven? And so Jacob began, understandably, making some miscalculations here. We can cut him some slack. And notice it says, then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. I love this. His pillow became a pillar in his life. Isn't that great? The hard place that God made him lie down became the place of memory when God changed his life. How I can associate with that? Because the pillow of stone that God gave me in Nashville, Tennessee, turned now into a pillar of memorial. And I can always look back and say, it was at that time in my life. It was a hard time. It was a dark time. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. Ever been there? I bet if you were to ask Jacob, Jacob, if you could go back and remove that time where your life was falling apart, you had to run from your brother, he wanted to kill you, you were away from your family for the first time, it was a dark time, you were in a hard place, you were on the run, you didn't know what the future held, would you trade that and not go through that again? I guarantee you Jacob would say, I wouldn't trade it for the world. Why? Because again, that probably was the best time in Jacob's life. It got his attention and brought him from religion to relationship. And again, for Jacob, was that conversion experience. You know, there's nothing like a little bit of time in hardness to soften us up. And so again, don't fight that. If you're in that place of hardness, use it as a way for God to refresh you. If you're an unbeliever, let God now get your attention and say, look, I've brought you to this place so you can see me and you can see the ladder to heaven. I'm trying to reach out to you and to save you. And if you're a believer and you're in that hard place, say, all right, God, it's hard, but what hope do I have? Where's the refreshment, Lord? I need your help. And here's why I love this too, because he set up his pillow as a pillar and then he poured oil on top of it. Gang, what does oil represent in the scriptures? The Holy Spirit. Do you see what the Holy Spirit is painting for us? It's in the midst of the hard places where God often pours out the oil, the greatest in our lives. I can remember back in that hard time, it was the Spirit of God being poured out on me. Now, I have to share this with you just briefly. You know my testimony. It was only 12 days. I mean, I wasn't even in jail as long as Paris Hilton. So I can't write my book, My Days Behind Bars. You know, I can't do that. It was very short-lived. It was, you know, that was it. But because of my messed up life and trouble I got into legally, I did have 12 days I had to spend in a jail in Nashville. Best days of my life. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Why? Because it was in that time that God said, now, is this really what you want? And if not, I'm offering you something brand new in Jesus Christ. Boy, did I take the bait. You see, that was the most wonderful time. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I remember we were in there over Christmas Eve. And they weren't supposed to let you take guitars in there, but they did. They let me get my guitar in there, bring my guitar in, and I had my guitar in there. And so they have like this big, like, you know, Christmas celebration for everybody that was in there so they could have kind of a Christmas thing. And that's when I happened to be in there. And so I got to bring my guitar in. And during the party, I got to sing for the inmates. By then I knew Christ. Guess what I was singing? Praise and worship songs. So we're in there having a worship time, and I don't know if they even realized it, but we're honoring the Lord. It's one of the best times of my life. I wouldn't trade it. We used to get in the rooms, have Bible study. They have the free time. You come together and have little Bible studies and sharing Christ. And the roommate that I had had come to Christ as well, and we're in there sharing Jesus with these guys. Went to one of the services there where they bring in a pastor on Sunday, a Sunday morning and all whatever, and saw, you know, one of the guys we were sharing with give his life to the Lord. This was kind of a scary guy. You know, it was one of these big, great, big, huge guys with a voice like this, you know. And I remember just, we share the Lord with him. And of course, you know, we didn't want to be alone doing that, but we shared the Lord with him. And I remember we came in there for the service or whatever, and we're sitting there, and this guy was behind me. I can't even remember his name. But I remember that the pastor was going to say a prayer, and I was like, oh, Lord, you know, move and just want to. And all of a sudden he said, look, if you want to give your life to the Lord, say this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I hear, dear Lord. I was like, yes! And you hear this huge bruiser behind me giving his life to Christ. Listen, those are days that I wouldn't trade for anything. And yet you could look back at it and say, why would God allow you to go through that? Listen, God is allowing you to go through hard times and maybe a place right now you'd rather not be because he wants to get your attention. He wants to change your life. He wants to do something new and give you a brand new direction. And that is exactly what God was doing with Jacob right here. He finally wakes up out of his sleep, knows the Lord's there. This is the house of God. He sets the pillar, it pours the oil. But here's the point. God is going to pour out his Holy Spirit in times like that. In greater measure, if you think I'm in this hard place, then say, God, pour out your oil on me right now. I need the oil of the Holy Spirit to refresh me, fill me anew and come upon me. And God says, I'll do it. And he does it here for Jacob. Again, this was in type here where he poured the oil on it. But I believe this is what God was doing in Jacob's life as well. And notice he calls the name of that place Beth-El. By the way, that means the house of God. And notice this, it had formerly been called Luz. Now, I know that was the name of the city, but it's interesting to me that in the place that he was lodging at that time, he had gone from a loser to a Bethelite. The bottom line is, that's what God does in our life. He transforms us from that place of Luz, if you will. You know, always our life being wasted, to a place of the house of God. And now we find ourselves communing with the Lord in all that we do with the Lord. And so there's all types of symbolism here that's being used. And notice, Jacob makes a vow. And I remember this. I made a vow when I came to the Lord. Do you ever do that, make vows? I'm glad I didn't say something stupid. And what I mean by stupid is something that, you know, I couldn't have been able to keep. But I didn't make any vows I couldn't keep, just that I would walk with the Lord and follow him all my days. And so far, so good. But the bottom line is, he makes his vow and he says, if God will be with me, and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Now, again, there are those who believe it should not be if God will be with me, but the wording here really should be better translated, since God is with me. And I believe that fits the context better. Both are grammatically correct in the language, but I believe since fits better than if here, for the simple reason, I don't think Jacob was questioning whether or not God was going to be with him. God revealed himself to him in a vision. And so I believe what Jacob was saying is, all right, if that's how it's going to be, then I'm going to follow you. And many of you have the same testimony. When God revealed himself to you, you said, all right, if that's how it's going to be, then I'm going to follow you. And he followed him. And notice he says, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. Again, that confusion of where God is. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. It's interesting. He says, Lord, you've given your life for me. I'm going to give my life to you, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to give you a tenth of everything and all this. And this is interesting because, again, he makes these vows to God, and yet we're going to see that he keeps these vows, and God does bring him back, and he ends up walking with the Lord. And it's interesting to me, and I think there's a poignant note to make here at the very end of verse 22. He says, surely I will give a tenth to you. Now, it's not just a poignant note as in the sense of tithing, but note this. The tithe here, this was before the law was given. Abraham did the same thing before the law was given. Now, Jacob says, again, before the law was given to Moses, he says, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything that I have. I'm going to give you that tithe. Now, why do I bring that up? Not to pass the plate, don't worry. Because I believe the issue here, when I bring up, note this, it was before the law. Guys, giving to God in whatever area, in whatever, whether it be financial, whether it be personal, whether it be in service, whatever area of giving to God, it needs to be a heart issue and not a law issue. One of my girls said to me, well, I've got this amount of money to spend, Dad, but I have to give this part to God, so I don't have them. I said, wait a minute, no, you don't have to. See, we're teaching them about giving the first fruits to God and all that. You teach them as a kid, it's going to be easy when they grow. It's only hard for us that haven't never done it, you know what I mean? And then we get this, oh, you can't let go. But if you learn from a child what giving and the blessing that comes with it, it's easy. And she said to me, Dad, I have to give this, so I can't buy that. I said, well, you know what? You don't have to give anything. I said, it's not a matter of law, honey. God's not going to make you give. God wants you to give because you want to. It should be a response and a joyous giving, not just in that area, but in every area of your life. He wants your life. He wants your heart. He wants your time. He wants your service. He wants everything you are. And if you're doing things for God, if you start serving in some ministry because you have to do it for God, I've got to do this, stop. Don't do that. God doesn't want you serving out of constraint. He wants you serving out of joy. And see what's happening in Jacob's life here? This is purely joy. He wants to do it because now he understands. He has seen God. He sees Jesus, the ladder from earth to heaven. He says, I want to serve. This is something that's a joy to my heart. I don't have to do this, but I want to do it because I've now seen what God has done for me. And that's the true heart of a conversion. It goes from, I better go to church, to, I can't wait to get there. It goes from, I better give, to, you know what? I can't wait to pour my life out to the Lord. See, up to this point, Jacob was only concerned about what he could get. He wanted the Abrahamic blessing. He wanted the inheritance of the family. And suddenly God makes a change in his heart. He's like, look, Lord, I just want to give to you. I want you to have everything. And I believe that's a true sign. Why do I bring this up? I believe that's a true sign of a legitimate conversion, is where we come to a place where we say, Lord, I give myself to you. It's not all about me anymore. It's about you. And I want to give myself to you. And I want to give you my heart because it's a heart issue. And guys, where does that leave us today? Listen, as we end today, where does that leave us? Listen, are you in a hard place as a believer and as an unbeliever? A hard place. Maybe a place where you feel the sun's going down. Where's God? I feel all alone. I'm on the run, whatever the case might be. Listen, look at this as an opportunity to see the gate and the door to heaven in your life. God is saying, I'm going to show myself strong in this situation. I want to pour out my oil on you right now. What I love about this, we talk about a cheerful giver of Jacob. It's interesting when we get to chapter 29, in verse 1 there, it says, Jacob went on his journey. It gives a picture of happily skipping along his way. It gives a point of this light-footedness, this kind of, yes, oh, life is good. And now he's got this kind of skip to his step of God's goodness. Let me ask you a question. Had Jacob's circumstances changed at that point? Not at all. He still had a brother that hated him and wanted to kill him. He still was on the run. He still didn't know what the future held for him. But now, rather than being in a panic and being all concerned because God had poured out the oil in Jacob's life, now he's got happy feet. He's ready to dance to the next town. And that's exactly what's happening. And my point is this, listen, whether you're in a hard place as a believer or an unbeliever, if you're there as a believer, let me speak to you first. Ask God to pour out his spirit and wait on the Lord. God will give you the oil that you need through this trial. And he will not only give you the oil that you'll need, he'll give you joy in the midst of it. But as an unbeliever, if you don't know Jesus Christ, and maybe you've been playing religion or following your mom and dad's religion or just coming to church because you think it's something you're supposed to do to try to reach out to God, it's man-made religion. It's not going to do good. It's not going to satisfy God in heaven. It's not going to do it. God will not accept it. God has already reached down to you because he wants a relationship. And now here's what you have to do. God, soften my heart. Take the stone that my heart is and now soften it. And I open up to you, Lord. I receive you. I believe that you died for my sins and it's by your blood I'm forgiven. I confess my sin to you. I receive you as my Lord. I recognize you as the ladder from earth to heaven and I give myself to you. And from this day on, I'm going to follow you, Lord. And what you want me to do, I give my life to you. That's what you need to do if you've never met the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the opportunity that the Lord gives you by his Holy Spirit. Don't pass it up. Receive what the Lord offers. Forget religion. Go for relationship. I've been involved in both, and they are a world of difference and a world apart. There's nothing like a relationship in God. Let's pray. Lord, that is my prayer for anyone today that is not a believer. Lord, maybe they believe, but they're not a receiver. They've never received. They've known about you. They've played church. They've done mom and dad's religion, all those things, but they've never come to know you personally. They've never truly seen, Lord, the ladder from earth to heaven in your face. And Lord, you want them to see that. God, I ask that right now you would open their eyes. Even as Jacob suddenly awoke from his sleep, God, awaken them from their spiritual sleep and let them say as Jacob did, the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. But now they would know it, Lord, and they would receive you as their Lord and as their Savior and come to know you, the way into heaven, the ladder into heaven, the gate, the door, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that even now they'd begin to confess their sin and believe that by your blood shed on that cross 2,000 years ago, if they will take that as their own in place of their sin and their rebellion, that you will forgive them and give them eternal life. And Lord, I pray for the believers as well, that if any of them find themselves in a hard place, a place of darkness, or a place where everything seems to be stones and there's no longer softness in their life, or it might just be to get their attention and to get them looking up again. And I pray, God, that right now we would look up and say, Lord, you've got our attention. Now pour out the oil of your spirit that we might not only endure this time, but that we might rejoice in what our God has done. We love you, Lord. We thank you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time, grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.